Exodus chapter 4, no, 24, verses 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him." Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has spoken we will do." Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offering and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of covenant and read it, and the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses went up with Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and drank. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us hear your voice through your word, telling us wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, by your grace, through your word, that we will be able to see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Oh, Father, as we hear your word, let us also have fellowship with you. Let us be very happy hearing what you have done and accomplished in Jesus Christ for us, your people. We pray that you and your alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we begin Exodus chapter 21. What we see in our passage is like a wedding. Moses is the minister, and the God is the bridegroom, and the Israelites are the bride. Moses, as the minister of the covenant, here reads the words of the bridegroom to the bride. And the bride responds with an "I do" vow. And I suggest that you keep this knowledge in mind as we look at this passage today and next week. Our passage can be divided into two sections. Verses 3 through 8 is the first section, and this section is about the wedding ceremony and the wedding vows. It is about the ratification of the covenant. And this section is sandwiched by the other section, which is verses 1 and 2, and also verses 9 and 11. And this second section is about the communion between the Israelites and their God. See, after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, the nation of Israel is now finally free and heading for the new homeland. But before they can enter the promised land, God gives them the laws to direct the life and the worship of the nation. They are to be faithful to God and to God alone. In chapter 23, verse 32, God says to them about the other nations, He said, "You shall not make no covenant with them or with their gods." By giving the law to Israelites and the people of Israel promised to obey the law, God and Israel start a new relationship. The marriage has begun. In the first section, verses 3 to 8, we see the covenant ratification, which includes the reading of the law, the response from the people, and sacrifice, and the sealing of the oath. In verses 3 and 4, we see the preparation for the ceremony of Israel's formal entry into the covenant with God. In verse 3, we see Moses telling the Israelites all the laws that the Lord has commanded them. And the Israelites in one voice responded, "All the words which the Lord has spoken we will do." Then in verse 4, Moses writes down everything the Lord has said. Then we see Moses getting up early in the morning and building an altar at the foot of the mountain. The altar represents the presence of God. Then Moses sets up 12 stone pillars. And these pillars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Thus, the two parties involved in the covenant are now identified. Then in verse 5, we see Moses sending young Israelite men. And these young men offer burnt offerings and sacrifice young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Here we see Moses sending young men because there was no appointed priesthood as yet. Young men are to sacrifice young bulls. We see here the concept of substitution. Young bulls for young men. And the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. See, burnt offering, what was it? Well, the burnt offering, the whole offering was burnt completely. It is a picture of complete devotion and dedication to God. It is a picture of complete loyalty to God and to God alone. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it, a male without defect, he shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. It points to the perfect and complete accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and in his life. The peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to offer out of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood around the altar. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a smoothing aroma to the Lord. It is for peace between God and His people, this peace offering. The fat and the kidney are offered up to God, but the meat is eaten by the people later. It points to our Lord Jesus Christ offering up Himself as the perfect peace offering to God on the cross. Thus, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Jesus Christ is our peace offering for the eternal heavenly peace that we have with God. Then we see in verse 6, Moses dividing the blood in half. The blood of half of the blood is sprinkled on the altar, and the other half is sprinkled on the people with these words. This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. In between these two sprinklings of the blood, we see Moses reading the newly written, the Book of Covenant, to which people respond with these words. All that the Lord has spoken or will do, who will be obedient. The dividing the blood in half indicates the twofold aspects of this covenant. The blood sprinkled on the altar represents God's presence and His gracious forgiveness. And the blood sprinkled on people represents the cleansing from sin so that the people might enter the covenant relationship with God. But we must remember that these two halves of the blood are from the same blood. The same blood binds the one with the other, God and people. As Moses sprinkled the blood on the people, they were reminded as the blood ran down their faces that the ultimate penalty for breaking this covenant was death. They were forced to realize that the covenant requires life from the shedding of blood. As Hebrews chapter 9 tells us, the covenant cannot be put into effect without blood, because without shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. See, God is making a covenant with sinners. Thus, all these rituals that points to what Jesus Christ will do when He comes. So the covenant has been ratified, and the bridegroom and the bride lived happily ever after. Right? No. See, this marriage that we see in chapter 24, this marriage had a problem. And the problem is that this marriage had an adulterous wife. When the husband was ever faithful to the wedding vow, God was ever faithful, the wife, his people, was prostituting herself with the others. Will the husband abandon his unfaithful wife? No. And as we all studied together already, that this marriage points to the perfect marriage. This marriage is actually a type. Type pointing to the perfect marriage that Jesus Christ accomplished. This covenant was a type pointing to the perfect covenant that Christ accomplishes. And unlike this covenant that we see in chapter 24 of Exodus, the new covenant that Jesus accomplishes, that covenant is ratified not with the blood of animal, but with the perfect blood, blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, during the Last Supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Do you remember Moses saying the similar thing in our chapter? Yes, our marriage is now with the one who poured out his own blood for us. He has poured out his perfect blood on the cross for us. He has experienced an abandonment as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So that you and I, we may not be abandoned by God. Yes, our marriage is with God himself, Jesus Christ. But this marriage, in which you and I, we are the bride, this marriage is perfect marriage. This covenant is perfect covenant. And because of what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished, this covenant, this new covenant, cannot be broken. Even as we, you and I, sin, the covenant is unbreakable. Because all our sins are paid for, and we have perfect righteousness from our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19, we read about the wedding of the Lamb, and his bride wears a white gown, white and bright and clean dress. And he says, which is washed with his precious blood. So no matter how sinful we were, and in the language of Old Testament, how many times we prostituted as a prostitute, how many times we commit adultery, his blood has cleansed us. And we wear his righteousness so that we are able to stand before God, our eternal husband, as a pure virgin. That is what it means to be born again. We are no longer defiled because of the blood of Christ has cleansed us and his righteousness we wear now and forever. This time, the bridegroom and the bride lived happily ever after. And that reality is shown in a typological way in the second section. The second section of our passage shows us that whoever is an active participant in the covenant with God is now invited to fellowship with God. God invites his people. His people dare not come on their own initiative. In fact, God warns them in chapter 19, verse 12, "Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death." But God now invites his people to come up to him. But because this covenant is a type pointing to the perfect covenant in Jesus Christ, only the representatives were invited. And through those representatives, you are to see the reality of yourself. But it's still Old Testament. It's Old Covenant. It's a type. So it's always partial. It's always earthly. It's always temporary. Unlike the antitype, what Jesus Christ accomplishes is eternal. And it's perfect. And it's not just temporary, it's forever. And it's never earthly, never physical. It's heavenly, it's spiritual. But nevertheless, from God inviting the representatives to come up and have fellowship with Him, through that you see your heavenly reality that Christ accomplishes. Verse 1 and 2, God commands Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They are the sons of Aaron. And 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Now, in verse 9, we see Moses carrying out this command. However, only Moses alone was to come near God. We see this kind of approach to God elsewhere, in the tabernacle and in the temple. There too, only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. So if you topple Mount Sinai, you see a prototype of the tabernacle and the temple. Only one person go into the Holy of Holies, and many priests work in the holies, and the people were outside. Just like it, only Moses goes into the top, and many representatives in the middle, and people were standing at the foot of the mountain. I will deal with this next time, because this is not how we approach God, no longer. It's not just one priest have an intimate fellowship with God. It's all of us, because we are His priests. But we'll deal with that later. So His people go up to the mountain to fellowship with God. And they were blessed with the appearance of God Himself. They saw God. They saw God's awesome glory. They saw under God's feet something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. They saw God and they did not die. This is amazing. Because you would expect these people were sinners. And when you read that they saw God, then they must die because they're sinners. And yet they did not die. What happened? Well, their reality is pointing to our reality in Jesus Christ. So that the blood, the animal's blood was shed instead of their own blood, indicates that their sins are paid. Well, it will be paid by Jesus Christ later. So that they could stand before God and not die. They could actually see God and they could actually have fellowship with God. Not only that they ate and drink with God, they have close communion. A new avenue of communion has been opened to His people because of the covenant that God made with them. But even though they saw God in His glory, we see in Exodus 33, Moses desiring to see God's glory, Even though they saw God's glory, it wasn't perfect glory of God. This shows that the glory they saw was a foretaste of what is to come. John in the New Testament tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, in Jesus Christ we see God's glory most perfectly. But only with faith they were able to see that glory, because when non-Christians saw Jesus, they didn't see glory. They saw a man they despised, even though he was God, came with that full glory of God. No one, unless he's in the covenant, could not see that glory. And they were just having marvelous time with God. Just picture that. You know, how happy they were with God and eating and drinking with God, having fellowship. And there was no more fear because they didn't die even though they were sinners. That God loved them. I'm positive that those people who went up to the mountain wanted to stay there forever. Like Peter, we like it here. Just like you and I, we always say when we worship, we like it here. But see, they could not stay there forever. They had to come down from the mountain. They had to come down because the communion they had with God was also a type pointing to the perfect communion that we now have with God in Jesus Christ. During the Last Supper, right before he gave the cup for his disciple to drink, he took bread and gave thanks and broken it and gave it to his disciple to eat, saying, "Take it, this is my body." In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world." Like Moses, Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, we too are invited to a meal with God. We are to come to God and drink and eat like them. We are invited to a heavenly banquet with the food and drink that came from heaven. Eat and drink with God. And that is exactly what happens whenever we participate in the Lord's Supper. That's the picture. Jesus, as the host, gives us food and drink. He gives us himself. We behold God through our eyes of faith. Thus we are so happy. This is our reality forever and ever. One day, this reality will be visible. Not yet visible. So you must believe. At the night of the Last Supper, after he gave the bread and the cup for his disciple to eat and drink, Jesus also said, "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." He also said in Luke chapter 22, "You may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." Yes, when Jesus comes back, He will gather His people into His kingdom, and we will sit at Jesus' table and eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, just like Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 says. But most importantly, we will have fellowship with Christ Himself. We will eat and drink with Him. Because after all, He is the reason, true reason, that heaven is really heaven. And in Luke chapter 12, we read about a parable in which the master, after his return, serves slaves and waits on them. It is very hard for us to handle this blessing that God will wait on us. And that's the picture when you partake of the Lord's Supper. When the pastor and the elders serve you. That is the picture. And I pray that God will bless all of us, so that through the eyes of our faith, we see what is really happening to us, even now as we gather unto God to worship Him. This is not our imagination, brothers and sisters. It's just not visible yet. And one day it will be. But there is communion between us and God even now. Because of the new covenant that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished with His own perfect blood, we are now able to come to God. He invites us to Himself so that we could sit with Him and eat and drink with Him. Meaning, eating and drinking, that's a picture of fellowship. You don't have to take it literally, eating and drinking. God is so happy to have you with Him. And there is communion between God and us. We try our best to witness that. So we hear His word, that's Him doing, Him talking, and we praise our praise to Him, that's what we do to Him. So there's what He does and there's what we do. There is actual communication between God and us as we worship together. You have to see this reality. You have to believe it. Otherwise, then this worship is just, what is this? You have to worship God with faith. And just see how wonderful time you are having with God. He loves you. And you love Him. And really, once we fully realize, then nothing really matters. Nothing else really matters. It's just too wonderful, too awesome. It's too much. But it is true for all those who are in Christ. In heaven, we will behold God with our own eyes. We will behold His glory with our own eyes. And you know what? We do not have to go down like these people. We stay with Him forever. And spiritually, that forever together has already begun. We will behold His glory forever and ever. And it's not like they saw the glory of God in chapter 24. We will see the actual glory of God. Because of our resurrected body, meaning our resurrected eyes, the new eyes that could handle the glory of God. Because even if God shows full glory right now, our physical eyes cannot handle it. This world is not our eternal home. We're not staying here forever. We have been saved out of this world. And I don't really don't know, unless you tell me, what kind of problems you have in your life, what kind of sufferings you have, what kind of persecution, how lonely you are. Unless you tell me, how can I know? You just need to endure a little bit more. It will not be forever. Because this world will end. And our lives in this world will end. But that is gain to us. That is good news. Because the life with God begins. Life with Him forever and ever. But even now, God wants us to see that reality through His Word, through our faith, so that we may endure everything that we have to face in this world. Because personally, I cannot face all that I have to face in my life unless I see what God has accomplished for me. I will go crazy without what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. But once I come and see my eternal reality, then I realize that everything is okay. No, it's much, much better than okay. It's perfect. Jesus says to you, the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." He's knocking. He wants to have fellowship with you, brothers and sisters. Just have marvelous time with Him every single day. It's for yours to enjoy. He already has accomplished it. Enjoy. All you have to do is just enjoy. Come, brothers and sisters, come to Jesus and enjoy. That life, that fellowship has already begun in you in Jesus Christ. Yes, the drink and the food are even now for yours to enjoy in faith. Come, brothers and sisters. Yes, even the filthy sinners like us, we are able to come because of what Jesus has done. Let us come to God and eat and drink with Him forever and ever. And believe me, once you enjoy God, the world will disappear to the background. Until one day, it will completely disappear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We are so blessed. And as we realize what You have done and accomplished for us, we are so happy, so glad. We rejoice. And Father, we thank you that it is your will to have this heavenly fellowship with us. And Father, we thank you that even now, even as we still live here on earth, that we are able to have this fellowship. As soon as we open our eyes in the morning, let us seek your face. And all day long, let us have sweet communion with you and witness to the whole world how happy we are in Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.